ABC News, I'm Andy Field. President Biden cutting his overseas trip short next week so he can be back for final negotiations with House Speaker McCarthy on raising the debt ceiling.
There's still work to do, but I made it clear to the Speaker and others that we'll speak regularly over the next several days, and the staff's going to continue meeting daily to make sure we do not default.
After an Oval Office meeting, McCarthy said he thinks it's possible to get a deal by the end of the week. Police in Farmington, New Mexico, identifying yesterday's mass shooter as 18-year-old Bo Wilson. Deputy Chief Kyle Dowdy says the shooter legally purchased a rifle late last year.
When we say assault-style rifle, that's more of like a long gun style of rifle. So we're not going to say an AR-15 or an AK-47. It's just an assault-style rifle.
Three elderly women were killed, two officers shot and survived. State Department confirms a convoy was attacked in Nigeria. This is ABC News. Nearly half of all car passengers killed on U.S. roadways in 2021 were not wearing seatbelts. That's according to federal data. It is the highest number in 10 years. Some New York schools could become homes for asylum seekers.
As many as 20 grade schools with freestanding gyms could house migrants under a new plan announced by New York City Mayor Eric Adams. But some residents are outraged.
Put them in the people who are elected, who put this in place. Put them in their backyards.
Obviously, these folks need some place to go. But the idea that our kids could lose out on their gymnasium is kind of appalling.
The mayor says a final determination has not yet been made, and even if the plan goes through, steps would be taken to separate migrants in the gyms from school children in classrooms. Derek Dennis, ABC News, New York.
Four more former professional soccer players now diagnosed with chronic traumatic encephalopathy. That's according to the Concussion Legacy Foundation. Andy Field, ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. A Minnesota man who dumped four dead bodies in Dunn County in 2021 is sentenced to 100 years in prison. Witnesses say Antoine Suggs told them he snapped. Police determined the victims were killed in Minnesota. That's why Suggs was tried in St. Paul. Fewer people are going to college in Wisconsin, but the state's higher education leaders are asking for more money in the state budget. UW System President Jay Rothman says it's because Wisconsin is in a war for talent with other states for high-demand jobs.
Engineering jobs, the data scientists, that can be done elsewhere in the country. And if we don't fill them here, those jobs will leave the state, and when they leave the state, they're not coming back.
Rothman tells Wisconsin Eye Wisconsin ranks 43rd in the nation for state university funding. In sports, the Cardinals clobbered the Brewers last night 18-1. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Heart failure, carpal tunnel syndrome, shortness of breath, stomach issues, lower back pain. How does it all add up? If you have heart failure and any of those seemingly unrelated symptoms sound familiar, it's time to talk with your cardiologist and get the full picture. They may add up to transthyretin amyloid cardiomyopathy. ATTRCM is a rare and underdiagnosed disease. Recognize the signs and discuss them with your doctor soon. Learn more at connectwithyourheart.com. That's connectwithyourheart.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
At Ho-Chunk Gaming and Cruiser, we're getting you ready for the hog days of summer. Giving away a brand new 2023 Harley-Davidson trike. Now through June 24th, go to Ho-Chunk Gaming and Cruiser. Earn 25 points on your rewards club card to be entered to win. Plus, $10 rewards play up to four times a day. Stick around and use your rewards club card because we're heating up this summer with hourly hot seats happening from noon to 9 p.m. Clear your calendar and come in June 24th. We'll be giving away a 2023 Harley-Davidson trike along with five cash consolation winners. Roar into the summer at Ho-Chunk Gaming and Cruiser.
It's time to shake things up around the house. This May, you may think it's time to make over. Okay, you get the hint. With Ho-Chunk Gaming and Cruiser's May Makeover promotion, you could win your share of $5,000 in gift cards to a home improvement store to tackle the project of your dreams. Guests only need to earn 25 points to earn your entry and $10 rewards play. Only at Ho-Chunk Gaming and Cruiser, your place to play. For complete contest rules, see the Rewards Club booth at Ho-Chunk Gaming and Cruiser. Must be 21 or older to participate and enter the casino floor.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
So much waiting for me. Yeah, I wanna go outside. I wanna be
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
You were supposed to get a colon cancer screening, but stuff came up.
We did have to pick up the twins from practice.
But on the way, we hit a giant pothole.
If you are 45 and older, don't let stuff get in the way of your screening. Visit the Colorectal Cancer Alliance at ccalliance.org.
But then...
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk on Devil Radio 92.7. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. Educated. Educators talking education.
Oh, it is Tim and Johnny Tuesday night. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. The number, if you want to jump right in, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. 789. I know everybody is waiting, and in an hour the president's going to be talking. We know everybody's tuning in though right now for the warm-up, not because Johnny and I and our special guests are going to talk anything about the State of the Union, except that on Busted Pencils every Tuesday night, the State of the Union is typically something we're dealing with here when we're talking about public education, democracy, teachers, all those things, your neighborhood, the Friday night football, the prom. I'm telling you what, man, State of the Union, it is the State of the Union every Tuesday night, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, and we are here. Johnny, we've been having some, you know, some great conversations. Want to say again, thanks to our guest last week, David Donaldson from the National Center for Grow Your Own, talking about teacher apprenticeships, pathways into teaching other ways. And again, you know, hats off and cheers out to Jess Piper, Jess from Missouri. Last 2 weeks before that, the dirt road Democrat. Johnny, going back to that theme too, what I liked when we had Jess Piper on was, you know, we started talking about the issue of rural schools. There were lots of things we were conversing about with Jess, largely on your prognostication about getting educators, you know, enlisted in the fight for democracy and, in fact, you know, running for public office. But Jess also really talking about rural schools. I put a couple tweets out regarding rural schools. Found this person out there who had a rural schools connection. And, you know, I kind of Twitter stalked him. He didn't report me to Elon. So, and I haven't been, you know, put off of the Twitter yet for doing my little bit of Twitter stalking. But thinking about this rural education, Johnny, it's like, wait a minute. Okay. And then grow your own teachers, rural education. We don't talk a lot specifically about the challenges rural America, rural education, rural public education. We tiptoe around it. And so I thought, let's bring this in this week. Former Deputy Assistant Secretary to the U.S. Department of Education for Rural Outreach, John White. Welcome to Busted Pencils. How are you doing, John?
Doing well. Thanks for having me. Thanks for Twitter stalking me.
Hey, you know what? I mean, I really more though thank you for not reporting me to Elon, because I know he's been out there targeting me and targeting the Busted Pencils. But so John White, let's start with, now this was during the Obama administration is when you held this. You've since done other things since then, but we're just going to talk about this. What does it mean to have been the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Rural Outreach at the Department of Education for the United States? What does that job title say that we are expecting you to do or that you're supposed to do? John White.
So number one, let me say it was an adventure. For about 4.5 years, I was a conduit to the department. I was sharing information, receiving feedback and input from rural educators, school leaders, colleges, nonprofits that support schools all over the country. I had the absolute privilege of traveling to 42 states in about 4.5 years and meeting a lot of great school leaders and teachers and students, educators from all over the country, and bringing their comments, bringing their thoughts, their ideas, their input back to the department so that it could inform policy and programs. Because when we're developing federal policy and programs, if it's a one-size-fits-all model, it's not going to work everywhere. And it certainly isn't going to be flexible enough to serve the needs of small rural schools who, if you're talking about a grant program, may not have a grant writer. If you're talking about a federal policy, they might not have a federal legislation, government relations person who follows this stuff every day. It's on the head of the principal or the superintendent, and they need support. And so how can we make policies flexible and programs flexible enough to meet different needs in different parts of the country? And so those are the types of things we try to do by seeking input and by providing information to get feedback on.
So the communications part, the way you were just describing that too, and the thing about rural, I was just out working with some superintendents here, rural southeastern Ohio, where I'm at. John, you're in Maryland. Johnny Lupinacci's in Washington. Evan, our producer's in Madison. We're coast to coast tonight. Mm-hmm. But just thinking the way you talked about, you know, the roles, and when I was meeting with very southeastern Ohio rural districts yesterday, meeting with the superintendents, talking about the possibility that these people last Friday, because of shortages, not just in teachers, just across the district, some of them actually driving buses so that schools could go on that day. That's a rural education issue that we think about there. But John, and then Johnny, you get in here after this, but John, even rural education, right? That's a huge term when we're talking about what, you know, Southeast Ohio, I'm talking here, you know, Appalachia. What are some of, you said you were in 42 states. Talk about the
4.5 years. Yeah.
Yeah. Talk about the differences in the diversity within rural education.
Oh, absolutely. And the first thing that I want to point out is that poverty increases with distance. So distance from resources, distance from urban centers and suburban areas. The further you go away from employment centers, the more the poverty increases. And when you're headed into places like states with vast distances or the Appalachian Mountains, you're limited on internet connectivity. You may not have cell phone coverage. Just the amenities and the conveniences that we take for granted in suburban and urban areas, they're just not there. And it's critical to provide support to schools and communities to fill in those gaps, especially for services that may not be readily available. In many places, those gaps are filled in by education service agencies and co-ops and BOCES and different agencies like that across the country that work with groups of schools and groups of districts to provide professional development, special education, and many of the other areas where schools just don't have the funding or the personnel to provide those services.
Johnny Lupinacci, jump in there, man.
Yeah, this is great. Thanks for joining us, John, tonight, and for all the work that you do, especially illuminating that important role. You know, one of the things we're always talking about here, Tim, and we kind of chop it up and go back and forth on this, is the importance of, you know, being transparent about how we do democracy and how educators are in the front lines of not only experiencing day to day the needs of a community, but being in an active role. Like, they are in a political position, right? Like a lot of other folks in our communities, nurses, public service, all these kinds of ways. But to hear from a conduit, I love how you were talking about that, a conduit, because we talk about how distant decisions are often made, whether it be in DC, federal policy, or at our state capitals. And I love that you connected the dots here for us tonight for our listeners around how poverty increases with that distance, right? And that's a really important thing. I think also empowerment that goes hand in hand with that economic component, but just political empowerment also can be really, you know, lessened by distance. And so I think when we're paying attention to important political decisions, like the decisions for our schools or conditions for teachers and children, that hearing about that conduit is so important, because these are really, you know, the networks of what has to be healthy for democracy to work, right? And so for our listeners to hear, right, Everyday Ways, we think of the elected folks in the big name positions. But we heard a few weeks ago from the Dirt Road Democrat, we hear from, you know, people at different levels of education all the time. And to hear you sharing that, that being in that position was an adventure, but, you know, a worthy form of service in the educational sector. This is huge for our listeners to hear, right? Listen, there are so many ways that as educators, are as members of an education community in this country, right, in our states, that we can lessen that gap. We can address issues of poverty, but with that, we can address those, the voice and empowerment that comes with that. So thank you for that work, man. I took a little bit of time because I really wanted to illuminate that for our listeners. And what I hope, Tim, is as we come back through this, I think also connecting the dots that we often do talk a lot about urban issues of poverty, and certainly they exist, right? But there are these unique similarities that our rural communities and our urban communities share that are just different enough to keep them in separate silos, but also that together, right, we can make a difference across both political parties to really making change for the better in our schools. So John, if you can illuminate some of those connections for a lot of our urban listeners to build that connection to our rural community of listeners, that'd be huge, huge for this show tonight, just to connect some of those dots for us.
Absolutely. And as you were talking and you mentioned State of the Union tonight, you know, I'll be watching the State of the Union trying to think about, as Tim said, the diversity across rural America that isn't often seen and is often overlooked. Of course, there's white poverty in Appalachia, but poverty and rural schools and students looks different across the South and across the Southwest. There are Black and brown students who need opportunities in those areas who face those same obstacles of poverty and lack of resources. So as I'm watching the State of the Union tonight and I'm thinking about policy and program, I'm also thinking about those students and what more we can do to help all of our students.
So in thinking about, you know, again, back to the poverty issue, right? It's like, you know, if anything, it's like, it's the great uniter is that poverty, whether it's rural, whether it's urban, it is the same type of pain. But even across though the rural districts, even the diversity of is a diversity of types of issues of poverty, when you say about distance, whether it's about access to resources, all of these come into play. And, you know, talking about the economic issues here, John, we're about up on a break here. When we get back, though, I want to put this, you know, really the one of the bigger issues here facing particularly rural education, school choice, education vouchers. How do they play?
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hey, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out. Because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Mainly clear sky tonight with lows around 40. Northeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. High of 60. Tomorrow, partly cloudy skies. Partly cloudy tomorrow night. Lows level off around 42. Upper 60s Thursday, turning cooler Friday with highs in the mid-60s and storms possible. Another look at the short range. Low of 40 tonight. High of 60 tomorrow. Lows level off around 42 tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 56.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
Any way you want it, that's the way you need it. Any way you want it.
We do it every Tuesday night. Any way you want it. That's the way you'll get it from us. Busted Pencils, educated educators talking education. Love that Rise Against version of a classic Journey song. I love it, Johnny. That's always, you know, the music here is something too. We always celebrate. It's the music. It's the talk. It's the information. We've got the former Deputy Assistant Secretary to the U.S. Department of Education for Rural Outreach, John White, is our guest, talking everything rural education. Had a nice broad opener to begin with. But John, you know, serious issues here. School choice vouchers, education scholarships, all the different ways we're talking about this. In rural America, though, how does one talk to me about how, first of all, somebody in a rural America, how choice might not help them, or give us the situation, because it's kind of for some people, they're like, well, all choice is great, but what's unique in rural America, rural schools, rural school choice? Give us a little bit of a primer there.
So let me begin by saying that we can't generalize when we say a rural school or a rural community, because rural could be, well, the federal government defines rural as rural fringe, distant, and remote. So fringe might be closer to a suburban area. There may be more population. There may be more options already there. When you start getting distant and remote, if there's one school, that's your option. If there's a single K-12 school, you have no other choice other than, if online education is available, if there's broadband connectivity, and if there's, for example, an opportunity for an entrepreneur to start something new. But those are ifs. And in many rural communities, public school is your choice, is the choice. And it's a little disingenuous to say that choice is available to everyone, because it's not. Now, that said, there are many choices across the country, whether it's online, like you said, voucher, charter schools, and public schools. And the better we can make education for kids, you know, that's what we should be aiming for.
But on the school choice thing, okay, vouchers, we're talking about this. So let's use the remote kind of situation, a school district. And I'll even, again, kind of talk to my specifics here, Southeast Appalachia, Ohio. You know, not really horribly like the Wyoming distance remote, but, you know, it's rural. And when I talked to the superintendents I met with yesterday, you know, when they look at choice, they're kind of like, okay, the other discussion that nobody seems to want to have is that people in these small rural areas in Southeast Ohio don't really want their tax dollars being offered up for choice, particularly when, as you point out, they don't really have a choice, maybe online education. But the other part is that, and I'll say, they like Friday night football and they like their school district. And that's kind of a situation. I mean, is this something, how do we make sense of that?
Well, I've been to the Appalachian, Ohio region, and it's like many rural communities, the community life revolves around the school. Mm-hmm. And anything that takes away from that not only affects the school, but affects the community. So a lot of rural school leaders do bristle when you talk about taking funding and support away from schools that are anchors to the community. So there is a hesitancy there.
Mm-hmm. And then Johnny Lupinacci, so that was Southeast rural. Give me a sense of your rural issue and choice that you might put out there, vouchers.
Well, I think I want to echo what John's saying. It's so diverse across our rural communities, right? Mm-hmm. And so hearing that definition was a learning moment for me and really helpful as someone adjusting from primarily, working in urban education to being a learner of what are the needs in our diverse rural communities. I think it's an ongoing process of really understanding the context of, what our schools provide for the community and the relationship between schools and community. And I would really echo John here, like he highlighted your Ohio Appalachia kind of example. That's been my experience out here in the Northwest in the rural parts, is that schools, like most places in our country, and I'm a firm believer in this, play a strong role in the community and vice versa. And so that's again why when we're having these discussions, I think it's so important to historically put into context the role of public education in a democracy. And I'm pulling that apart away from Democrats, away from Republicans, because it's a shared responsibility of citizens of this country and even beyond the definition of what constitutes a citizen. But for all of us, really, that relationship between our schools and the strength of our country, and really that we are only as strong as our parts, right? And so any community, whether that's rural or urban or the diverse kind of classifications of rural that John gave us here, right? Because it's really different. Sometimes even, 20, 30 minutes apart, both defined as rural schools, but radically different. And so how does school choice impact that? But also just how are we looking at our community strength, our public school system as providing a service, especially for rural spaces where we're often distant from some of the things that our urban centers provide, not only to children, but to families and community, right? So we're talking about the arts, we're talking about athletics, we're talking about job training, we're talking about access to internet to do things like job applications or filing taxes and different things that maybe we don't have access to, like a service or a vast network of library systems. Sometimes that can all be condensed in a public school. And I've learned the power of that in our rural communities out here. So I think I just want to echo, it's really diverse, but those issues are complex and important to discuss.
Complex issues, echoes, diversity. We got it more. Our guest, John White. When we get back, one more segment, Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded, back after the break.
Boom.
Keeping the Fox Valley connected, informed, and entertained. This is Civic Media.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. President Biden cutting his overseas trip short next week so he can be back for final negotiations with House Speaker McCarthy on raising the debt ceiling.
There's still work to do, but I made it clear to the Speaker and others that we'll speak regularly over the next several days, and the staff's going to continue meeting daily to make sure we do not default.
After an Oval Office meeting, McCarthy said he thinks it's possible to get a deal by the end of the week. Police in Farmington, New Mexico, identifying yesterday's mass shooter as 18-year-old Bo Wilson. Deputy Chief Kyle Dowdy says the shooter legally purchased a rifle late last year.
When we say assault-style rifle, that's more of like a long gun style of rifle. So we're not going to say an AR-15 or an AK-47. It's just an assault-style rifle.
Three elderly women were killed, two officers shot and survived. State Department confirms a convoy was attacked in Nigeria. This is ABC News.
Oh, now wait until you pull up to the stop and go light. But when you do, go ahead and save the Civic Media station to one of your presets. The Cripes Cast with me, Charlie Behrens, and also on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. If you're looking to start a small business, Wisconsin is a great place to be. Data from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics compares state-by-state business survival rates from March 2012 through that month of 2022. In 2012, nearly 8,200 private sector businesses opened. 10 years later, they were still operating with nearly twice the workers. Only Iowa performed better. South Dakota is third. Manufacturing businesses have the greatest chance of success, followed by healthcare and education. With northern Wisconsin under a fire weather watch, the DNR asking the public to avoid burning for now. Northern counties are at a very high fire danger north of Highway 8 and high fire danger north of Highway 29. Low humidity, warm weather, and winds could cause fires to spread out of control quickly. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hello? I'm a Marine.
No matter how you served.
My buddies from the Army are all gone now. I'm really alone.
No matter what you're going through.
I keep getting calls about the bills, and I'm trying to get a job. I feel so stuck.
We are here for you. If you or a veteran in your life is experiencing thoughts of suicide, dial 988, then press 1 to reach the Veterans Crisis Line.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the US Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Dancing on Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. The number 844-967-2789. John White, former Deputy Assistant Secretary, U.S. Department of Education for Rural Outreach. We are talking everything rural education tonight. The diversity within rural education, issues of poverty, dealing with school choice and how school choice might not necessarily be a big benefit, particularly in rural communities where there might not be much choice. And in fact, a lot of communities don't really, and I'll say this, I'm taking a leap, don't want a choice because their local public schools truly are the hearts of their communities. And so whether it's the kindergarten Halloween parade, whether it's Friday night football, whether it's the prom, whether it's the holiday musical, these things are part of the culture in rural America. And when you talk about funding, which is what we're talking about in school choice, you're talking about taking funding from these local communities and sending them elsewhere. And that's when people see this starts to break down the community. Made me then think about, as we're coming into this segment, John, you know, we said we talked to Jess Piper, our dirt road Democrat from Missouri, who was a school teacher, who got to the point where she said, you know, these issues, particularly, and she was in rural Missouri, these issues largely around choice, I got to run for office. I got to be a part of the political machine because I got to tell the story that, look, it's not this simple, that when we're voting for certain issues, it matters to really understand. So from an educator perspective, she was trying to say, I wanted to bring some light to the fact that some of the policies that tend to be supported sometimes in rural communities aren't for the benefit necessarily of people in the rural communities. John, as we think about this, how, you know, we're going to put this because Johnny's been challenging the listeners and educators out there to say, how do we get you involved to be like a dirt road Democrat like Jess Piper? How do you see this playing out in rural America, saying, you know, where's the biggest, say, political need to get people who are interested in education? How can they take an active role? Is it running for office? Is it running for school board? Your thoughts on that?
Well, I guess the first thing I think of is boards of education are the governing body over school districts. They hire superintendents, they approve budgets and policies. So you really have a strong school board. Of course, you can have members of the community who have budget experience through business and entrepreneurs and et cetera. But it's really a benefit, I think, to have somebody who has taught, someone who has led a school or a district and has had that experience, and bringing that experience to a school board is just invaluable, because you have, say you have seven people on a school board or even four or five on a school board. They're not all going to have that experience having worked in a district or having built a school budget. And so I think the more educators we can get to serve on school boards, the better informed decisions will be. And hopefully, the better the relationships can be between school boards, superintendents, and school districts.
Donnie Lupinacci, when are you going to be running for, you know, that rural district, man?
Oh, man, I'm still learning so much about about rural districts. You know, it's not in my future, although one of the things that came to my mind, John, hearing you make that recommendation and encouraging words that you have for folks to think about being part of that board is what if I've never become a teacher? Like, what about becoming a teacher? Like what do you have to say towards? I mean, I know our rural schools got to be like our urban schools, you know, feeling the crunch, teacher shortage, quote unquote, right? And so a lot of our listeners might not even be thinking about that as a political, you know, way to be involved. What are your thoughts about getting into being a rural teacher?
Well, first of all, teachers are often respected, regardless of what we see in the media, respected members of the community. And there are more and more ways to get into teaching now. And we need more and more people to consider careers in education, whether it be the traditional route, or whether it be through a teacher apprenticeship. The state of Tennessee received the first approval from the U.S. Department of Labor to develop a teacher apprenticeship. Now there are more than a dozen states doing it. There are other innovative ideas, like in Wyoming just last week, the University of Wyoming College of Education announced a pilot for a new competency-based education program that respects teachers' time and their needs by asking them what they need and providing those micro units, not necessarily seat time and degrees, but those micro units to meet their needs on demand 24/7 as they need it. We're talking about a transformative approach to teacher preparation and professional development. So there are many great strategies and ideas emerging, and hopefully they can help us solve some of these shortage issues.
What do you think, yeah, John? Johnny, go ahead. Keep going.
I mean, I love it, Tim. I mean, here we are talking week after week about this. And John, thanks for highlighting that, because for our listeners to hear that, you know, you may have a calling to education, right? And it doesn't mean you have to go away to college. You don't have to go necessarily back to traditional school. There's creative ways. And to our higher education listeners out there, right? We work with a lot of folks in teacher education. And so for folks out there to hear that this is a unique opportunity in our country to develop these creative partnerships, mm-hmm. like the University of Wyoming has done, like they've done in Tennessee, to really think about how to bring people with community experience and an affinity towards being an educator. Because there's a lot of us in different professions that find ourselves teaching quite a bit without the formal credentialing necessary to be in our schools. And so these are folks we want in our schools, right? And so I love hearing this. Thanks for sharing that as a key component, John. And I want to loop back around in this segment, Tim, if we can.
Sure.
Hearing, John, how our listeners or how folks who come back to this later and hear, you know what, there are some rural issues in my community that I would like to get out there. Tell us a little bit more about what you do and how our listeners can connect with you and be that political voice. They're doing the work, right? How they can be part of that larger process.
Sure. So I'd love to keep in touch. Now I'm a consultant. So I work with superintendents, school districts, colleges, education nonprofits across the country. And it's easy to find me. If you go to Twitter and you look for @RuralEd, you'll find me, and I'm always posting information and news. If you email me at john@jlwcommunications.net, that's john@jlwcommunications.net, I will respond and we can start a conversation.
Well, so on that conversation, John, I wanted to keep going on that. So because I'm looking at, you know, so on top of that, you were a public information officer, Prince George's County, director of communications, Howard County Public Schools, chief of staff, Maryland State Department of Education. So on, you know, on top of the Obama administration gig, you kind of hung out. You've been doing this education communications gig for quite some time. Johnny, thanks for asking John that question right there, because, you know, as we try to help people think about the possibilities of how they might want to get involved, it's always, okay, but what can I do next? And so I think this, you know, you're out there and you're saying, I can't run for office, I can't do this, but I want to communicate issues about specifics in my rural district. And I want to do a Twitter blast about that. John, is that, you know, is that something you help me with if I reach out to you to say, you know, help us understand how I come to your other job as a consultant and how you might craft a rural campaign for me?
Sure. So when I work with superintendents and school districts, we put together a strategic communications plan. I'll do a communications audit of how they communicate currently, what resources they have available, and we can see where the gaps are or where the strengths are that we can utilize. Same goes for colleges and education nonprofits. It's what I enjoy, and I like to help people across the country.
When you think about that part though too, even isn't that a huge issue though too? I'm talking about, I mean, if there's something defining in rural education, I'm gonna be careful how I say this, but the lack and or miscommunications of what's really happening, you know, because I want to go back to, you know, our first topics where we talk about, you know, choice vouchers and things. It's like, you know, I hear the fact that, you know, there's a policy that's advocating for all kids need the best choice for education in America. And I'm sitting there, and now we're going to go refer to my neighbor is that person saying, I think that sounds like a great policy, the best choice for the best education for all kids in America. And they hear that communication, and we know, and a lot of our listeners, though that's really rhetoric for school choice and taking local tax dollars and putting them into voucher plans. That Could you help a superintendent get that message out to their local community members when election issues such as school choice and vouchers come up?
Well, yes, but I think also it's just as important for the community to be able to express itself to the school superintendent and the school board, and the board to be able to sort of digest that and repeat it back in a way that says, this is what I heard, this is what we're actually doing, in case they didn't know that, and this is what we actually need as well. Because in most cases, students, parents want what's best for their students. And in many cases, people say, my school is doing great. It's all those other schools that have problems, you know.
Right.
And that's not always true. But I think the communication piece is always the most important piece to try and understand each other. And if we can increase that understanding, we can certainly get along better and make better informed decisions.
It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Our guest, former Deputy Assistant Secretary for the U.S. Department of Education for Rural Outreach in the Obama administration, John White. John, I got in the Twitter feed right here from Father Oblivion. Now yellow school buses drive past old brick schools that are inhabited by remodelers and folks short of cash. Small town schools are now the rural schools and starved of resources. So just wanted to, you know, recognize the people that are paying attention to the show in social media out there on Twitter talking about that issue. But John, I see you nodding your head there.
And one of the first campaigns I did as a consultant was with the Pennsylvania Small and Rural Schools Association, and they were launching a fair funding campaign, because at that time in Pennsylvania there was no formula for the way tax dollars were distributed, and you could have a school on one side of the street doing great, a school in a less powerful legislative district not doing very well at all, and the small rural schools. You know, that any drop in funding could be a big deal in a small rural school, just like if you lose one teacher and that one teacher happens to be your math teacher, that could be a big loss.
Yeah, man, thinking about that issue, right? You just said the reliance on so many people, whether it's superintendents who need to drive buses on some Fridays when the bus drivers are sick. John White, thank you for busting pencils with us tonight. John White, former Deputy Assistant Secretary of the U.S. Department of Education under the Obama administration. Again, John, thank you for joining us tonight on Busted Pencils. When we get back, Johnny Lupinacci and Tim Slecker, Educated Educators Talking Education. We'll break it all down back after the break.
Tired of low or no connectivity? Do you live in BTN, Bug Tussle Nowhere? We want to talk to you. Bug Tussle brings high-speed internet to the places others don't. No contracts, no data caps. Truly unlimited internet. Call 877-227-0924.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different. And not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Moving Day, a walk for Parkinson's, is happening around the country. Together we can unite in the fight against Parkinson's disease in a safe but exciting and fun way. So let's get moving. Join the Parkinson's Foundation to learn more and register at movingdaywalk.org.
Here's your updated forecast. Mainly clear sky tonight with lows around 40. Northeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. High of 60 tomorrow. Partly cloudy skies. Partly cloudy tomorrow night. Lows level off around 42. Upper 60s Thursday. Turning cooler Friday with highs in the mid 60s and storms possible. Another look at the short range. Low of 40 tonight. High of 60 tomorrow. Lows level off around 42 tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 56.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
You are wrong. What if you knew it all along? What if I figured out that I did not belong?
Would be really wrong if you decided to leave Busted Pencils right now. Fully led at education talk, educated educators talking education. Our guest for the last three segments, former assistant secretary education rural outreach, John White. Thanks again, John White, talking everything rural education. Johnny Lupinacci, it's back in our hands here for the last little segment. Hey, also, if you're out there, you want to jump in and give us a call, your rural education stories, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Always have time for a caller to share what it is that's on their mind. Okay, Johnny Lupinacci. We got a primer in rural education. We talked to the dirt road Democrat, Jess Piper. Now, we had a sense with David Donaldson growing your own. As we're talking about this now, too, back to the, what are you, you know, give me some senses of like, what are some of your takeaways now from the shows over the past month?
Well, Tam, you know, one of the important things John shared with us tonight, you know, it came across in all these recent shows and really across the last couple of years of shows, but especially in the most recent ones, the importance of communication, the importance of having conversation, open conversations where folks are sharing, but they're also listening actively, right? We're really talking about what can our schools be? What are they and what can they be? And seeing the great wealth of expertise in these really diverse spaces, whether it's rural or urban or the different categories of rural that our guests have shared, you know, they all really illuminated how important that communication is, how important it is that we talk to each other, and to bring it back up to the big picture, right? In a democracy, trust and communication are of utmost importance, right? Mm-hmm. And so when we talk about government, we talk about public service, and we have to put in the context of that public education, because schools are where we learn to work together, right? We learn a lot more than just the content. We learn the content, but we really learn to come together and be the community, be the country that we are. And so—
You remember that? Yeah, you think about, you just jump into that poster, everything I needed to know, I learned in kindergarten.
Yeah, so let's keep that rolling, right? Kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade, all the way through, that these school spaces are really microcosms of our larger community and vice versa, right? So we really have that strong relationship, and that we communicate about the needs, about what's happening in our schools and what they can be, right? We know they play an important role. We don't always focus or prioritize that role. And so how do we recenter around those issues? That comes back to those prognostications, Tim. You were talking about, this is the year you really see the so-called teacher shortage. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say solved, because it's not that simple.
No, right.
Addressed in a really productive way, a really generative way. And we're hearing about how that's happening. The other major prognostication was that teachers actualize their political voice. Because mm-hmm. I'll stand by this. No matter how much you identify as or not as a politician in your community, if you're a teacher out there, if you're working in schools, you're in a political position. And yeah, so I really say, like, these two things come together through communication, through sharing stories, through having conversations, to listening to not only each other, right, to educated educators talking in education, but to neighbors who care about education. And that ought to be all of our neighbors. And I think John highlighted that tonight too. He said, you know, really in his experience, and I have a very similar experience as John, is that no matter how folks identify, in general, most folks want what's best for the children in their community. And I would even extend that for children writ large. And so let's work towards our school being those spaces to all our schools.
You know, I think about that, the way you put that, and there's so many different points here, but, you know, back to just the simplicity of recognizing when we say the function of schools, you know, and I think too many times, too many people really get trapped on that, just that academic part, right? And we talk about that. And Johnny, what we've been illustrating over the weeks here is that the foundational part of, as you said, whether it's communications in a democracy, but when we talk about schools, when we're talking about the importance of them in a community, it's because they are that first place where we learn about being a citizen in that local community and what it means then to participate in a democracy. So when you hear Johnny and me talking about this from a passionate standpoint, as, you know, quote, advocates of public education, as if we're some partisanship thing or coming at this, it's like, you got to understand what we're talking about here is really saying we want the preservation of the foundation of democracy, a public school setting, the public school center where we can have these conversations with John White, Jess Piper, David Donaldson, future guests coming up, Dr. Diane Ravitch is going to be on the show. I mean, this is what we're dealing with here, whether it's rural schools that we were talking about today, whether it's urban schools, whether it's suburban schools. It's taking that idea of a school as an academic institution and broadening and recognizing that really it's the anchor of the civic life of a community, Johnny Lupinacci, the civic life. I'm going to give you the last minute there, man.
Yeah, man. I mean, I appreciate that, Tim, that bringing us back to civic life, right? Bringing us back to doing democracy. It's messy, but it's a project and it's a commitment worthy of all of our attention, especially as educators, right? And so I get really excited about the energy and the creativity and the collaboration that's possible, right? When we learn from one another. And there isn't a one size fits all here. There isn't a silver bullet in how to fix, you know, either the teacher shortage or addressing, you know, what's so-called been referred to as learning loss. But when we begin to talk about what matters in our communities and in our schools, these are complex issues and they should be. And it's really important that we have conduits to come together and have those discussions and have them generative.
And that's what we do on Busted Pencils every Tuesday night. Oh, State of the Union coming up. Go check it out. But educated educators, thanks for listening. We always appreciate Busted Pencils with
follow
you.
Us on Facebook and Twitter at Busted Pencils or log on to BustedPencils.com for blogs, podcasts, and more. Join us again next Tuesday for Busted Pencils on Devil Radio 92.7.
Hey, this is Tim from Rise Against here on Busted Pencils Radio.
This is Matt Damon on Busted Pencils Radio. Please stop bothering me and just ask my mom already.
We are Busted Pencils!
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance or VA Life. VA life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA life insurance.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the ABC Civic Media News app.